Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we're coming to what we might call a tool that we can use in order to solidify our own position with God, and then also a tool that we can use in helping other people know the truth of God's great love, the gift of salvation in Christ, and so on. Let me begin in this way. What is the basis of your beliefs? Let me give you five options here. First of all, is it your gut? So it just feels right what you believe. Or maybe it's logic. You think it through and it just makes sense. How about science? So you're confident in science because it is proven through these various experiments. Or what about facts? So you have facts and they're supported by real, true, genuine evidence. No twisting of the evidence here. Or what about faith? So you have confidence that the promises in the Word of God, they are all true. Why is that a good one to hold on to? Because God is almighty. He can do anything. God is holy. Therefore, he cannot lie. So we can be confident that every single thing in the Bible is true. God will keep every one of his promises. Well, we each have our own beliefs, but we should ask ourselves, are my beliefs true? Am I really sure? Or maybe to go this far, are we willing to stake our eternal location on what we're believing right now? Like, it's that important. Because if we have the wrong beliefs, no matter how sincere we are about them, if we have beliefs that do not harmonize with the Word of God, those beliefs are not going to work out, or at least that's what I believe. Now, much of the world does not believe that, but that's what I believe, and I believe that because I'm starting from the position of the Bible, believing that the Bible is true. What I want to share with you today, I've been wanting to do this for a while, and actually Cedric Jr., he sparked the idea again for me a few weeks ago when he was sharing with me what is in the book, Without Excuse. So many of you are reading through that devotional book this year, and we do have Blaise Pascal referred to in the book. I tried to deal with this topic years ago, and I laid it out in a certain way, and I was struggling with trying to say it in a way that would be simple to understand. So Cedric Jr., he drew it right out for me on a piece of paper. Like, he looked at it, he knew it so well, he drew it right out without looking at anything else. So I thought, oh, maybe that's a way to do it, is to put it in block form, and maybe that will be an easier way to grasp. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. Blaise Pascal, he was a man who lived centuries ago. He was a philosopher, a mathematician, a physicist. He was a very brilliant man, and he wanted people to know Jesus, so he came about it from a completely different angle, in a sense. He said, I'm going to use pure logic here in trying to look at some good reasons why people should be open to the things of God. Now, many people are closed to the things of God, and if Pascal was here today, he would say, those people, they're not being logical. Logic would say it is much better to be completely open to the things of God, and it would be a position of foolishness to be closed off to the things of God. Let me try to share with you what I'm talking about here. So there are four factors here that he shared with us. So either heaven and hell are real, or heaven and hell is not real, and then trust in Jesus for heaven. Yes, that's the case with a person, or no, that's not the case with a person. We have four different options here. So I want you to see with each option. So across the top, we have heaven and hell not being real, but we have a person who does not trust in Jesus. Is that a problem? It's not. You can see here, the eternal impact is nothing. If there is no heaven and hell, it doesn't matter if we trust in Jesus or not. It's not going to change anything. What about option number two? So all the blocks are the same. We're just lining it up a little bit different with each option. So now again, we're saying heaven and hell, they are not real. But now we have a person who does trust in Jesus. Maybe that would be like all or the majority of us. So here we are. We believe the Bible is true. We're trusting in Jesus for our entrance into heaven. Let's say somehow all of us have been thoroughly deceived, and there actually is no eternity. So here we are, going through life, believing the Bible, trusting in Jesus, and actually there is no eternity. Well, if that's the case, you can see here, there is no eternal impact. What could be the impact for us? Oh, maybe we're denying ourselves a little bit more than others. Maybe we're resisting temptation more and saying no to sin and wanting to honor God in our lives. But as far as eternity goes, there is no negative impact because there is no eternity. How about number three here? This is the worst one. So now we're talking about a situation where heaven and hell, they are real. However, we're talking about a person who does not trust in Jesus. So there is going to be an eternal impact, and it's going to be horrible. Here is a way to think about this when we think about heaven and hell. So here we are in the middle. Heaven is up here and hell is down here. We're here in the middle, and all of us, whether we believe in Jesus or not, we are blessed. We have air to breathe. Our hearts are beating. We have clothes on, we have cars to drive, we have houses to live in. So we are in the middle. We are blessed whether we believe in Jesus or not. We are very, very blessed. God wants us to understand that when we die, if we die with our confidence, our God-given confidence in Jesus, not only do all these blessings continue, but then we are with God forever, and the blessings are like multiplied like over and over again with God forever. What about those people, though, that are here and they're enjoying all these blessings of God, but they do not have their confidence in Christ alone for heaven? So when they physically die, all the blessings they experienced in life, those blessings are all removed, and now they're put into a place apart from every blessing and apart from the Almighty God. So I'm using the word here horrible because that would be truly horrible. Let's go to some good news here. What about option four? So heaven and hell are real, but by the grace of God, we have these people who are trusting in Jesus. So they've been open to the Word of God. God has worked by His Spirit through His Word to show us that we are sinners, that we cannot save ourselves. God has shown us who Jesus is, what He has done for us, and that through Him alone, the way to heaven is open. And by the grace of God, we are trusting alone in Jesus Christ for our entrance into heaven. God wants us to know that our sins are forgiven, that we are in possession already of eternal life, that we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and the very moment that we die, God is going to bring us home to heaven in our soul and spirit. And when Christ returns on the last day, He's going to raise our bodies back to life. He'll make our bodies imperishable. He'll put us all back together, body, soul, and spirit. And we're going to be with God forever. And it's going to be completely awesome. So it's quite a difference between dying without Jesus in comparison to dying with Jesus. It makes all the difference in the world, and it is for eternity. Just to analyze those a little bit in a similar way, but maybe in a little bit different angle here. So examining the choices with one and two, there are many people in the world who do not believe in any kind of an afterlife. They would say that heaven and hell do not exist. So basically, they're going to like eat, drink, and be merry now. And when they die, they think that's it. If they are right, they can believe whatever, they can do whatever, and there are no eternal consequences. What about option three? Most people in the world, let's understand, most people in the world do not trust in Jesus for their entrance into heaven. If we could only see what God sees, I think we would see that probably over 95% of the people in the world do not trust in Jesus alone for their entrance into heaven. So think about that. I mean, we have over 8 billion people in the world, and the vast majority of them, they either say there is no God, or they are trusting in their own goodness, or they're trusting in a combination of what they have done plus what Jesus has done. But none of that is faith in Christ alone. So the vast majority are in this category. So if heaven and hell do exist, for all those people, for maybe 95% of the world, they're going to hear these words of Jesus out of Matthew chapter 25. He's going to say to them, they're in the category of the goats. So remember how that works out. The goats are on the left and the sheep are on the right. No offense to you guys sitting on that side today. But anyway, though, the Bible lays that out very clearly with the left and the right. But he's going to say to them, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire. These are the words of Jesus. Into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So God is the one who created this awesome universe in which we live. But God is also the one who made this place of torment, this eternal fire. Why did God make it? God made it for the devil and all the other holy angels that followed after the devil. That's the reason why God made that place. Does God want a single human being to go there? He doesn't. Think about what it says in Ezekiel 18:32, these are the words of God. He said, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live. Now, when he says, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, what it means is, I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies apart from Jesus Christ. So God doesn't want that for a single person. God wants everyone to know the truth, to know their helpless situation, and by the grace of God, he wants them to embrace Jesus. So this place that God has made, it is for the devil and his angels, but then for anyone who ends up rejecting Christ all the way to the end, God is not really sending them to a bad place. They are sending themselves to the bad place because Jesus, like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So when they reject the only way to heaven, God has no choice but to send them to the other place. So it's not God's fault. It's their own fault for being closed off to God's word and for ultimately rejecting Jesus Christ. God doesn't want that for anyone. Let's get to the good news here then. So some people do trust in Jesus for their entrance into heaven, and my hope and prayer would be that for every single one of us in here, I mean, I'm just a regular person. I can't read your hearts. I don't know what's going on there, but God knows what's going on. But I hope for every single one of us, we know, hey, we are rotten sinners. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot add to anything that Christ has done, but we don't need to, though, because he has done a finished work. He has done everything necessary. And by the grace of God, we're giving up on everything we have done. I don't get to heaven even a single ounce because I'm a pastor, because I give money to the church, because I try to help people. That is nothing for me getting into heaven. I have no confidence in any of that. Me getting into heaven is all about who Jesus is and what he did for my salvation. I'm so thankful that God has opened my eyes to the truth, to see that and to give me that faith. And I'm trusting in God to keep me in that one true faith all the way to the end. I hope that's true for every single one of us. So again here, for us who do trust in Jesus for heaven, if heaven and hell do exist, which I fully believe that they do, what words are we going to hear? Jesus is going to say to us, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So even when God was creating the world, God had all this planned out. God was at work then. God has been at work through time. Decades ago, God worked in my life to open my eyes to the truth and bring me to faith in Christ. And maybe you can say the same. Maybe you know when that happened. Maybe you don't. Maybe when you were baptized into Christ by the grace of God, you have stayed in the kingdom by the grace of God all the way up to today. And I hope it goes all the way to the end of your life. Just a couple more things here real quick. I'm going to do part two next week. Just from a logical perspective, so does it make sense to remain closed off to God's holy word? I hope you can see that's a simple no. Like nobody should be doing that. Does it make sense to reject God who made you? God made us. We should not be rejecting him. Does it make sense to reject God who loves us? And think about the greatness of God's love. That he would send his own son to put on flesh and endure all that he endured. I mean, the love of God is so much beyond our comprehension. Does it make sense to reject Jesus who died for you? If we have another human being lay down his or her life for us, I mean, wouldn't that just change us? Wouldn't that make us be like, this is just so overwhelming that person gave his or her life for me. But how much greater is it to know that the very Son of God, he gave his life for me? I mean, that should just touch us in such a strong way. We should never reject that. Does it make sense to reject God's gift of eternal life? God isn't saying like, okay, if you want to be with me forever, I want you to do this and this and this and this and this. No, it's nothing like that. God is saying, I've done it all for you right here in Jesus. I'm offering you this gift. This gift is the most awesome gift that anyone could ever receive, and I'm offering it to you for free because Jesus Christ, he has paid the entire price. Those are some of the things I wanted to share with you today. I shared a little more than I planned on. Anyway, though, this is coming up next week. Yeah, believe it or not, we have another brochure here. So it looks like this, but I want you to know, though, that what's in the brochure, I hope it solidifies our own relationship more. And then for people who are like very logical people, this might be a tool that we could use with them to help them understand how logical it is to be open to the things of God and how illogical it is to be closed off to the things of God. We'll talk more about it next week. For now, let us pray. Father in heaven, we cannot thank you enough for revealing the truth of our sin and Jesus' work for our salvation. And then we thank you for working even further to gift us with trust in Jesus for heaven. For all who are in eternal trouble, we pray that you would work quickly to get their attention, and we pray that you would transform their lives. Bring them into your kingdom. Make them our brothers and sisters in Christ, and help all of us to live unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.